So we were talking about the show at the Comedy Store last Saturday.
Oh, it was great.
And he was saying that he wasn't sure if anybody hung out afterwards because he went home. And I was just telling him that, like, for the past, I want to say maybe like 2 or 3 years, actually, like right after the pandemic started winding down, that was my energy levels was like, yeah. I'll go, I'm out of there before it winds down, blah, 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 blah. But I noticed that when I started being more energetic and working out, that made my energy levels go up. And now I'm like,
you want to do something.
Yeah, I'm doing stuff. And then we started talking about how, like, in the morning, if you work out or do anything, like, you have good decisions for the rest of the day. And then when you decide, like, nah, I'm not going to really do that in the morning, that turns into a whole day of bad decisions, potentially.
The first choice is an important choice to do.
Yeah. It's like momentum.
It's like, it's all about just doing. And that's the simplest thing you can tell people when they're struggling. It's always so funny, especially in Los Angeles. People, like, look at you, and we're all on the same playing field. I've just made choices that you didn't make. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to throw it in your face, but, like, the only difference between me and a lot of people is I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you're just not doing. And it's the mentality that you're talking about is when you wake up, make that first choice to do the thing.
Right.
And it makes the next thing easier to do. Because you just did that.
I never understood that.
I might as well do. That's why I like waking up early. Like, even at, like, let's see, Saturday, I left the store. I got home, actually, probably around 3:15.
Okay.
I left the store.
Because I dipped around midnight, maybe, something.
Yeah. I left because we had to find rides for people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And by the time I left there, I went to IHOP because I was starving at this point. I had to go get me a Denver omelet, just mainly all protein.
Is that with the ham?
That's with the ham.
Wait, where at IHOP? What is
IHOP?
That? Oh, IHOP.
You never been to IHOP?
I said the way I said it.
It was like I'm from Cincinnati, so I know some.
That's a new place out here.
But I was like, this motherfucker is saying
it's AHAP.
He didn't even close the lips
on the P.
AHA?
I probably went to see.
Dude, is that AHA?
Probably around right before 4, right?
Damn.
I was up at 8 the next day. I can't sleep in. I can smoke. I can drink. Before I go to bed, I'm still going to get up between 6 and 8 every
no lingering
day.
Feeling.
I catch
and
disease,
when I wake
bro.
Up, like, I wake up, like, my eyes wake up, and I'm like, all right, I'm up. I just go. Yeah. I don't saunter or just slowly get out of bed. I get out of bed immediately.
Yeah.
Use the bathroom, brush my teeth, and get the day started.
Well, what are you doing? Because I feel like you've been slimming down.
Yeah.
You look better than
I changed my diet. I cut out as much drinking as I was. Carbs, no fried foods. I cut out a lot of the sugars. Usually when I drink, for the most part, I try to drink neat. And that dropped
as opposed to mixer
like
ice.
Yeah, like mixed drinks. And then I was zipping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, lead with that, bro.
Crazy.
Lead with that, because
it took discipline to do that stuff, too.
It is. First of all,
I was about to say shit.
That's crazy.
I was just like, man, fuck it.
This motherfucker's on those heaven.
This is why I say it like that, because I was talking to them on another podcast called Squadcast, right? And it's 5 of us, and I'm telling them, I'm like, yeah, I'm on Ozempic, but I also, like, you know, stop eating fried food, stop eating carbs, stop eating sugars, all that type of stuff. And it's like, motherfucker, that's what did it. It wasn't Ozempic. Ozempic is just a placebo. Right. They're like, you did everything you were supposed to do.
But I do know that after you get do certain things like that, you have to have discipline to maintain it. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of people who get lipo or a BBL and they go straight back to being fat. Like there is an element of discipline.
The lap band shit, but they just keep eating bad. It's like,
bro, so you do have
bust.
To change. So you can't just be like, no, you took Ozempic. Like, they're doing a whole bunch of other stuff too.
I'm just saying, lead with that shit. Well, I started.
Last was crazy.
It's like the last one on the credits. Like, that's why I thought Gladiator 2 was fucked up. They say with Denzel. So lead with Denzel. They got 7 weak-ass actors, and they're like, also Denzel Washington. Like, bruh, I'm at the movie already with Denzel.
Hey, they had to get Pascal that top villain on that one, man.
He's
killing it right now,
come
man.
Come on now.
He's killing it, bro.
But either way, the thing with the – you do have to attach – the thing is you'd be wasting the Ozempic if you didn't attach good – good habits with mm-hmm.
it.
And so that's
literally
dope to hear
because,
but you know there's a gang of motherfuckers out there that are just popping the Ozempic and they are losing the weight and then they're getting their weird body going because they're not adding any activities with it. Mm-hmm. It's you do have to have the whole thing.
I found that out with BBLs because a lot of girls will get the BBL and then start a fitness journey.
Okay.
And a lot of people be hating on that, but it's like
you have to do that.
Yeah, you do.
They just can't be like naturally built. It's like, no, you got that, but now you in there.
They
got
to wear that special wrap thing that molds their body after the BBL too.
Really?
So they have to put that on anytime they're not out actively. What's it called?
A FAHOP.
Is that a FIHOP? Fake IHOP?
This is wrap they put around their midsection. And they have to wear it because it shapes your body to look the way you want it to do. So they do this anytime they're not at home.
Oh, I've seen that.
They have to have this on.
I thought it was called a waist trainer.
They have waist trainers are different, but these are different because they actually have like, I don't know if it's like, I think my homegirl, she had like wood, like strips of wood in it to hold it. Yeah, yeah.
Is that long term? You have to always have it?
I think it's like 6 months to a year after the BBL.
I'll tell you what they got to do. They got to make sure their thighs are proportional with that ass that they get. What the fuck is going on?
The not matching is crazy. You should know. Like, you should know when it's not matching. Yeah. There's a lot of ants.
That's a tough look.
You know what? I honestly think that doctors in any surgery should give you a maximum. You know what I mean? If you're tiny and your legs are tiny, but you want this giant. I think there is a responsibility on the doctor to be like, yo, I've done this enough. It's not going to look good for your size. It should go up to this size. Because a lot of people are so like, there's so much body dysmorphia out right now. Dang. It's like, I want this huge ass. And then they get it. And it's like, it looks crazy. Like crazy. I saw this video where this girl was sitting down and her booty was like, it was almost like she could put her arm around it. Mm-hmm. Like it was just on the side. And that's why it went viral. But she didn't know that's why it went viral because she got the surgery for attention. So she thought she got viral because it was looked good. Yeah. And honestly, it's like this. I mean, obviously, it's not just like this with women and BBLs. But I feel like the body dysmorphia is rough. So especially
I know as a man, sometimes you got to have a nice sit down conversation. And a woman has to tell. I've been told by a woman, look, sweetie, you can't handle this ass. And I think a doctor needs to sit these women down and say, you can't handle that ass. You can't handle the ass that you want.
That's hilarious.
I've been humbled by that.
That's hella funny.
Fellas, if she got a big ass, you losing an inch and a half to 3 inches off of your dick.
Just in the coming.
The bigger the ass, the more inches off your penis when you're going from the back. It's no denying.
When you first put it in, that's 3 inches in from just the cheeks.
Yeah.
She feels one.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know.
She just got that in her.
You already lost three right there.
She just got that. She ain't getting none of that shaft. Just the helmet. Just the helmet, man.
Dochi got her butt done.
Did you see?
I didn't. I mean, it says in the comments. I didn't know. But I will say,
didn't she have a breast?
Anybody on TDE got it done. SZA went crazy.
But I like.
SZA
I don't mind.
Good though.
SZA, oh my god. SZA might have the best BBL I've ever seen.
Looks good. I don't know because
Ari.
One of them from
Oh, did Ari get one too?
Ari's is flawless.
What is it? Not Drink Champs. What's the
Drink Champs?
Poor Minds.
Poor Minds. Yeah, one of them got it in there.
They fine.
They came on More to the Story and did they do us too? Just did More to the Story.
It was a different two girls. Nah.
I met them through another shoot.
That was Mila and
good
Erica.
Looking women.
Good moms, bad choices. Shout
I like
out
how
to the homies.
SZA's first album is just her complaining about having no ass and she was like, I'm gonna change it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, I remember Cardi was on IG complaining about her teeth. She got those done. She looks great.
My homeboy, shout out to Nikki. Nikki was like, yo, you still got the number for the grills? You need to get another grill. And I was like, I can't do it before I get my side tooth fixed.
Yeah.
I need to go ahead.
Priorities?
I've been bullshitting for too long. I could have been got that shit fixed. I'm going to go ahead and get the side tooth.
Why would you get it fixed, though? Well, I mean, everybody knows who you are right now.
Because my teeth, the longer it's out, the more my teeth will shift.
Yeah, that's
so true. I'll get a fucking grill.
That's extra room.
Nah, but six months to 8 months, that grill won't fit. It'll fit differently. And because the teeth start shifting, they start sliding over trying to fill that space.
Oh, they're just going to move to the side?
They will move. And so when I put the grill on.
They don't talk about that on that Paul Wall song.
You put the grill on, it'll hurt. You'll actually feel pain because your teeth are being pulled back.
Yeah, my grill was painful.
Yeah, so like
I would wear it once every 2 months.
But I told people, I was like, once I get the grill done, y'all know I made it. So I'm kind of like, once I get the tooth done. Y'all know I made it. So I'm kind of like just waiting on both of them.
Is it going to be like one veneer tooth? Like one big ass, shiny ass tooth?
No, no, no. So what I want to do, because it's like right back here, and I've always wanted this, and I'm going to give props where it's due, even though I'm like, I look at Buddy differently now. Nelly has always had like a gold or silver tooth, like three teeth back. You catch it in interviews or when he's talking, and I always thought that shit was dope. So it's
when he first came out, right?
Yeah,
that was like the thing, right? Why are you looking at him differently? You don't like him or is better?
No, because of the whole Trump thing.
Because of the inauguration,
he performed Trump.
He performed the inauguration.
Oh, it was him, Snoop, and Soulja.
Snoop, Ross, and Soulja Boy did it for a crypto event, and the crypto event was in celebration of Trump's new administration being elected.
Is that different?
Nelly did it for the inauguration.
Okay, that's very clear.
Man, he was directly to the source. He went straight to Cuba.
You should have known. Like, you lost Nelly when he went country, though. That was Tim McGraw. Was 2004.
Always my head got me over and over.
Come
again.
On, that sweatsuit.
I hated it.
I know we all kind of hated it.
I didn't like that.
But I respected the money grab. I want my homie to win.
Yeah,
but once he did Trump,
on this side for
and when he did the whole like, you know. I'm a military kid. I've always respected the office, nigga. When's the last time you voted? Pull up the receipts for the voting.
That's
if you
crazy.
Respect the office, so I was just like, that's a whack ass thing. You took the check. It's cool, but now we look at you different because it's like, bro, you ain't really fucking with us. But that happens when people get money.
He just wanted to be
you
on
get
the air.
Enough money, you start voting Republican. I might vote Republican, but I'm still gonna be marching with y'all.
He's Nelly.
I can't wait to have enough money to vote Republican. I cannot wait to vote Republican.
He just wanted to be on the Air Force One, right?
Nah, fuck that, man. No? Nah, I see what you did.
There he is.
Yeah. But keep in mind when
that was the same lunatics more than him.
when that came out, Forces was like $90.
I know.
I
haven't bought Forces since. How much are they now?
Like 110, 118.
I mean, the part of that
$30 isn't bad.
That's not bad with inflation.
It's just regular inflation.
Is that with you knowing you are going to only wear those 3-4 times?
Yeah.
Before they got yellow?
Before they get the creases.
Yeah.
I had some pretty embarrassingly yellow Forces that I kept for a long time. I don't know how often I wore them,
but they were pretty yellow.
They were pretty yellow.
You got the vibe and the style.
This was pre that.
Oh, this was pre that?
This was like me trying to be cool. Air Forces, I wanted the clean ones and wore the yellow ones. Same with tees.
I never did it. I did Air Maxes.
Same with white tees.
Yeah.
I was an Air Max guy.
But once I realized
that I liked certain shoes or whatever. Late teenage years, I did the Jordan. I did the fours I liked with jeans. Mm-hmm. Those were good. Mm-hmm. Some of the Jordans. Cincinnati had, we had decent style. But then also, like, I was just a dude that New Balances have made a comeback. I was always fucking with New Balances.
Yeah.
They were always comfortable, and I didn't, not in a corny way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
People used to clown New Balances. Like,
bro,
I always thought the 991s, like.
And that lets you know he really a fan. When he know
great.
The models off the numbers.
Yes.
For real. It wasn't just like New Balances.
No. The gray, it was just a clean ass gray 991.
But you know what it is? I feel like fashion, maybe not high fashion because I wasn't a part of that, but in terms of street fashion, it's gotten cooler to be more regular over the, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like 10, 20 years ago, it was like, you needed the like crazy flashy, how the hell do I even match these shoes with, you know? But then over the time, like American Apparel got popular, Gap got popular again. Like, we started straying more towards like normal fits with certain accents as opposed to just like pink shirt, you know, like, you know, chrome, whatever, pink dolphin, all these crazy Bape and all this stuff. It went from like super out there to kind of like low key. Yeah. And that's why New Balances
a family in my high school. And well-known family in St. Louis. Shout out to the Spans, Daya, Jaleel, Sir, all of them. They only wore Polo and Abercrombie & Fitch, and they only wore New Balances for sneakers every day.
And so they were rich.
They sound comfortable.
They were doing well. They were one of those. They stayed on the street
because Abercrombie used to be
equivalent of. What is it? View Park? Like close, like the like the equivalent to like black Beverly Hills, like View Park and all of that. So they stayed on a street that was known to have like these big grandiose houses, all brick, amazing, like 8-bedroom houses, 6-bathrooms, like And they were super cool, but like that was their damn near like uniform.
It's always like the first dude who ran Apple. Before
Cook. Just wore,
who was that?
Steve Jobs. He just wore
the black turtle.
The black. Yeah,
Baller rocks Puma, dude. Head to toe Puma.
You do love Puma.
Not just rock Puma. Puma. It's comfortable. They fuck with me.
No, wait. I was gonna say, are you connected?
Yeah. Okay. So I get hooked up here and there, and then like, but I also just like really like
you would have without that.
I started rocking it on my own, and then I'm also, if you see me on stage, I'm the most comfortable motherfucker on stage. Like I'm chilling on stage.
Here's the thing. It's crazy because that's who you are, but that's also a white thing.
Say it. What do you
black,
mean?
Black people got to wear red leather.
we gotta show up. We put that shit on, right?
Yeah.
White guys would be funny as hell in a pair of flip flops.
Oh yes.
Some holy jeans and a dusty t-shirt.
Yes.
But be funny as fuck and also comfortable as fuck.
Right.
I like, and this is just who I am. If I'm on stage in front of people, I'm going to put my best foot forward because they paid money to see me and the other comics. So I'm going to look like they paid money.
I don't know. I think that's just an overall culture thing. I don't think that's specific to comedy. It seems like. In real life, we see that Bill Gates chilling. He's not trying to do anything.
Zuckerberg's chilling.
All that. It's like the black people around him are like trying to look rich. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a cultural thing.
I think there are definitely some people who try to look rich. For me, it's more so about like respecting the person that paid the money to see me perform.
Yeah.
And looking like somebody paid money to see me perform.
But that's got
to
stem from something.
Well, I mean, for me, it's just like looking nice when you go somewhere where you're going to be noticed, whether it's church, a restaurant, a play, or something like that.
All that stems from something.
Yeah.
All that is culture. Right. How many times have you guys been in a restaurant that you thought was fancy? So you dressed, probably not like, you're not in a bow tie and stuff, but you're like dressed up, and then you see
some white dude in shorts and chill.
They're just like, this is my regular, as opposed to. This is our day out. This is me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's definitely a cultural thing because there have been places that I went to overdressed, and then the second time I went, I dressed regular because of, the vibe that I've seen.
Listen, I am down to my last blue shoe. This is it. This is the last one. And normally, I would possibly be freaking out. I'm not even going to hold you, right? Because I can't even realize when I would have turned the automatic shipping off, like, I don't know. But here's the thing. I just found out, literally when I was reading over this ad, that Blue Chew was coming out with Blue Chew Max. You heard right. Blue Chew Max. And I'm like, yo, how can they make it better? Because, like, here's Blue Chew, right? This is good sex. Mom, mom, mom. Now, I'm Mr. Good Sex. But now Blue Chew's coming out with a Max. What does that even mean? Well, the Blue Chew Max has arrived, and it combines the active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis into one chewable tablet. Come on, man. Let me tell you something. I ain't buying a new bed, okay? So if the bed get messed up, the bed just get messed up. I ain't buying a new bed, but I'm trying that new Blue Chew. You can bet your bottom dollar, okay? And let me tell you something. Blue Chew ain't going to stop. They're not going to stop until everybody is bricked up like a house. That was a wild statement, but that's one of the things they wanted me to say. They also wanted me to remind you that you can sign up for Blue Chew right now. It's a couple clicks away, and guess what? Everything is done online. You go to BlueChew.com, you fill out a survey, you talk with one of their licensed medical providers, and it is shipped to your door in a couple of days. The product's at your door. You can get bricked up, big dog. You know what I'm talking about? And once again, all of it's done online. All of it's done online. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to make a trip to the doctor's office and another trip to the pharmacy. No, ships to your door because it's made and shipped in the US of A. You don't get no easier than that. So stop missing out on the best sex of your life. Get it together with Blue Chew. And right now, you know Blue Chew got that deal for you. You can get a free month of Blue Chew. All you have to do is go to BlueChew.com and use the promo code DIYS. That's right. That promo code is DIYS. Head over to BlueChew.com for more important safety information. We thank Blue Chew and we thank you.
But it's definitely a cultural thing, but it's also like the way I was raised, where you, if you go somewhere special, you wear good clothes.
Yeah,
that is wait. That's very St. Louis though, because that's the like suits, the hats, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Midwest. That's a Midwest shit for sure.
I was gonna say again, that's cultural though, because you were raised that way.
Yeah,
because someone
felt that way beforehand, like it comes mm-hmm. down and it keeps coming up, that we have to, just like we have to work harder, we have to prove ourselves more, mm-hmm. we have to show up looking a certain
looking
way.
Looking like we belong. Yeah, and then now we find out that the motherfuckers that belong don't even look like they're dressing like us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you have to dial it back.
About
yeah.
How black people save Cadillac. Because we were buying the big cars, the luxurious land yachts, because we wanted to make a statement and we wanted to look like we belong.
Yep.
And we pulling up to the lot and the other people that work there, white people like, this motherfucker spent all this money on this.
You can say the same about Gucci, Louis mm-hmm. Vuitton, Polo, Ralph Lauren. Like, yeah. We put that on to be like, and then I think, like, I understand where that comes from, but the tacky part is like Ralph Lauren hat, Ralph Lauren glasses, shirt, drawers, blah, blah, blah. It's like, please notice me.
Right.
As opposed to like, okay, I got some money, I can like dip into this stuff. It's like everything.
Yeah.
Versace
overboard.
Shirt.
This makes me ask this question. How do you guys feel about mixing brands like Nike shirt?
I don't do sports brands.
I'm doing it right now.
I got Puma shoes on too.
Yeah, I'll mix clothing brands, but I won't mix like sports brands. I don't do like Nike
and
Adidas.
Man, I got cooked the first time I did that, and I didn't even know I did. Yeah, it's always socks.
I don't do it because I don't want to be made fun of by black people in public.
Exactly. The socks are the only thing that does it for me. I've never like naturally wanted to mix my sweats, my shirt with a different shoes. But
yeah.
It'll be like, I got Nike socks on, but Adidas shoes.
Yeah.
And I got cooked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
yeah.
deaf. Everywhere.
You're
everywhere
one of my best
happened.
Friends, and I would yeah, definitely lean into you. I would definitely let
y'all
even
would,
I, even I
y'all
know
would
to
let,
make fun of that.
Y'all would let me know immediately.
Immediately.
Which immediately. Is crazy if you don't care. Because I didn't care. And then they'll make fun of you for it and be like, can I do this again?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing about that. We do that to remind you who you are and who you are to us. But if you do it again, we'll be like, oh, that's just Pat.
So the first one was a bluff?
If you are.
That first one is just like, hey, we want you to know we feel this way about
it. Just so you know, you shouldn't do this.
Yeah,
and then they'll be like, well, he did it.
You got to break through. You got to break through the threshold.
So there's no consequences with black judgment.
I've known Pat since.
Long term. No, there's short term consequences.
I've known Pat for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Like 2016.
Yeah.
In that almost
is that when
years.
You came to the Culver?
Yehovah City. At 2016, when I was still working at the jail. 2016, 2017, somewhere around that.
Did you still work there in 2015?
At the jail?
Yeah.
It was
for sure 2016.
I was a teacher at the jail.
That's
so it was for sure 2016.
2016.
All right, so we got to do something next year.
Yeah.
That's true. 10 years. This is also a common law marriage. Yeah. At this point. I don't know if you guys know that.
In that 10
and
years,
that is frowned upon in the black community. I know that shit.
In California, don't have
But in that 10 years, I may have seen Pat wear jeans probably less than 10 times.
Hey.
Oh, you're comfortable like that.
He
you're
don't ever wear jeans.
Wait.
I'm comfortable as fuck.
Wait. You know what's crazy? My journey of this started with a white dude that kind of looked like you. His name was Jono.
I was ready for Mark Wahlberg, but Jono sounds cool.
In high school, there was this super popular dude who couldn't really dress, but he started wearing these Rite Aid moccasins. I don't know if you guys remember the like Native American looking shoes.
Yeah.
They were like slippers.
Fuzzy shit inside?
Yes.
Yeah.
He started wearing those. And it was fly as fuck.
Yeah.
And then...
Where are you from?
I'm from here. So I went to Hamilton High School.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But college you went to...
CSUN. But this CSUN. Was right
but
before
this,
that.
Yeah.
So, I've been in performing arts. So I was always friends with like white and black people. The white people, they were always like, I've heard this a number of times. I wore basketball shorts to school, and I never went back.
Yeah.
Their whole thing was comfort. I don't care about any of that. I'm comfortable. And I subscribed to that, and then it was a completely different trajectory. But it's different. I understand, because in the black community, it's like, you go to school, you're like, is my outfit sufficient?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're from a different background and your shoes ain't it,
Right.
They'll make fun of you, not because your shoes are trash, but because they're like, hell yeah, my shoes are better than that person's. Yes. Yeah, you know, yeah, and yeah. then it becomes this whole culture. But if you just step out of that and you're like, I'm not in it, it's like, oh damn, this nigga's playing a different game. You can't even make fun of him.
Yeah.
You're like, we're playing Monopoly. This nigga's playing poker. What do we say?
I think that there's two things there. First of all, white people, we're always just trying to, we can do whatever we want for most of the, like, I think, as a straight white man, things are catching up to us now. We got to chill a little bit. We got to chill a little bit. But I'm 38. Most of my life, we've been chilling.
Bro, it's 2025. The fact that shit is just now catching up.
It's just catching up.
It's catching up.
Maybe, I mean, it just caught up. This might have just caught up. Because, first of all, I've been talking about this on stage. It's like, people always clowning straight white dudes like, we don't have culture. Bro, my culture is taking your culture and making it my culture. That's the whole culture. That's our whole thing. That's what we do. I don't even dress like this. My culture speaking through me. I got a mustache of a Latino man. I dress like a 55-year-old black man. This is me. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing.
That was the best defense of your history I've ever. This is but that. That is my culture.
That's our culture.
The only of it is.
No,
it's
I love it. My culture is going over here and being like,
Doug.
I like that. Doug,
what spices all, y'all got over here?
Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. Eminem.
We're not
going to
use them. What you got?
What you got? I heard y'all got some spices.
Oh, pepper?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't need the spices. We going to sell the spices.
I love that.
First of all, we honked up.
Which is,
I've been playing double dutch over here trying to pop in. Y'all talking about some deep shit about black. This is why we dress this way. I'm like, how do I get in this conversation?
Here you go.
Let me bulldoze my way in here while talking about my culture.
You know what's crazy? I hit CT up, Clay Thomas. I hit him up. I was like, yo, bro, I need to get into the store and the factory. I got to meet more white comics. Like, I know almost all the black comics. I need to meet. I got to expand my demographic. He introduced me to Mike.
I see why that was his first choice now.
Well, like, Steve Fury, right? So Steve Fury is a cool-ass Fury.
Fury, yeah.
Cool-ass white dude, but he a white dude. Mike is a cool-ass black dude from Cincinnati who, if you didn't know, like, if you were blind, you
feels on the phone,
you'd be like, wait, is he white? he did my birthday show last year. He went on stage, basically dressed like this, and he was like, with the Cubs, like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. What y'all want to talk about?
Yeah.
And if you close your eyes, you would think it was a black dude.
Yeah.
But he's all the way white. It's just like, it's really culture in the way you're
from
raised.
This conversation that we've had, I feel like I've gotten, I know I don't like, I know artists don't like being described to other artists, but it feels like the same ballpark as Bill Burr, where it's like, it's not like
I'll take that.
You're not code switching. You're not like you're not like the white comic that's just like, hey, what's up? You know, you know, like
what's
it's
up,
literally
peoples?
Like you even just in this, you showed me perspectives that were like, holy shit, I didn't know that white people knew we were thinking that.
Well,
yeah.
here's my thing about this is what I think about a lot on stage and how I present and why I'm good in black rooms in general, because I am. First of all, any minority room, you can call it a black room, Latino room, whatever. If you are not authentically yourself, people see through that more so. In you can trick a room of white people that you're something else very easily. Mm-hmm. Also,
right.
I know I can do it because I am a white dude and I know how to trick other white people very easily. You know what I'm saying? That's easy. But
I love that.
But I'm saying, but with black and Latino people, they have. Your whole life has been trying to seek through bullshit mm-hmm. that white people have been doing. What I know is when I step on stage at Chocolate Sundays or whatever it is, crack 'em ups, all that shit, I can say whatever the fuck I want as long as I'm authentically being myself. Mm-hmm. And when I say these things, if I talk about black culture or any other culture on stage in a black room, predominantly black room, as a white man, one thing I know that I want to be able to show the audience is if I say some shit, I will say it in a way where you know. If you had a follow-up question on that subject, I have the answer.
Yeah.
I know why I think what I think, and I actually thought about both sides of it. I'm not doing some low-hanging fruit mm-hmm. racial joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually speaking about it in a way that is not only
relevant
informed
to me.
From me, but I hope you know that I've also thought about it from your shoes as well. which are a couple sizes more expensive, and they're probably some crispy ass J's.
Even that joke. All right. Well, I mean, I just
say admitting of knowing the difference and the vast difference between the lifestyles, but also growing up in it, like in Cincinnati, growing up in it. Being exposed to it firsthand and not just hearing about it from word of mouth.
Right.
You were raised in it, and even though you were raised with a white family, you still were in...
And predominantly white friends, but like, I know when I was 15, I had a job at a Jaguar dealership. It was me and four other middle-aged black dudes. And like... I was 15 and a half trying to learn how to finger fuck. And it was like, yo, these dudes are influencing my perspective on shit a lot. Right? Like, they're teaching me games.
It's like, oh, I didn't know how to finger before I stick it in.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, dude, I have a whole joke about it, too. Like, this dude, Tony Thompson, was like, yo, you ever finger fuck a girl? You gotta clean the rims of the car like you finger fuck a girl. I was like, I've never finger fucked a girl. And I was like, that's how you finger fuck a girl? Like, cleaning the rims like that? That's not how you do it.
That Tone? Perspective is
for the rims,
is
you gotta
so
in,
much.
Like, you clean the rims, you gotta
dude,
go in.
I'm gonna do that joke on, I think I'm gonna do it to Chocolate Sunday next time and try to see if they fuck with it. But
the fact that you said chocolate sundaes next time, I feel like I understand that you understand this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
which is dope because it seems like a lot of comics are just like, hey, I think black people would think this is funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of good comics are like, this is what I learned from the few black people around me.
And also the biggest anger point that I've had over the last, like, I would say more recently, like the last 4 or 5 years, when audiences really tighten up on me. If I do a joke about race from my perspective, it might be about whatever race. I like talking about race because it's, we all observe it. We all, like, you're lying to yourself if you think, I do think that we should all be equal. At the end of the day, it is not that simple, and it's easy to. It's something that we can all make fun of, and if you don't make fun of it, you're blindly saying that we're all equal. It's like, dog, we all want to be equal, but it's clearly not set up like that. So either way, when I do these jokes in a room full of white people, sometimes they'll all tighten up, and then somebody might say after, like, you shouldn't say that joke about the black people. You're offending black people. I want to flip it and be like, yo, that's. I hope you know that you're being more offensive than I am being offensive, because you are actually being vocal and defending somebody that you have an assumption they can't speak for themselves. Mm. You literally are defending somebody that you think they can't. They're laughing. The only four black people in here are laughing at me. They're actually the ones that complimented me, but you're telling me that I can't speak how
so
I
they're
speak.
More they're more concerned with not looking racist than actually not looking racist.
And they're saying, and it's up to me. I'm this 45-year-old white woman that has watched Dateline for the last 20 years.
You're a
I
white
can
woman?
Defend.
Shout out to Dateline.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the type of people that are complaining to me.
Nah,
it's
I
like,
feel you,
and
yeah.
I'm and we should defend these black people. It's like, dude, no, they're laughing. You're telling yourself that you should defend people because you think that they're defenseless?
Yeah.
No, they're fucking laughing because they know what I'm saying is true.
Yeah. One time I always tell when a joke is based in truth and experience versus, and this is also a good tell of a comedian, when a joke is based in truth or something that actually happened and you can build upon that versus completely fabricating and producing a joke because you think it's funny.
Right.
Where you can take things that actually happen in your life. And that's every comic, every great comic will tell you, base your jokes in some form of truth.
Yes.
It don't have to be
100%. Doesn't have to be 100%.
But 75 or 65 or better.
Right.
And then you can elaborate that because it's way easier, one, to remember something that almost happened versus remembering something that you completely fabricated.
Then you're never lying.
And then also the verbiage that you use when you're explaining and presenting the joke is always going to be different.
Yeah.
When it's something that really matters to you or something that you went through versus something
your
that you created.
Your passion
will come through. Yeah, 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 yeah. 100%. 100%.
It's authenticity.
I would like to see how much he has absorbed through our intro song.
Do what?
Our intro song?
Yeah, we're talking about being, you know, in proximity.
Oh, shit. I mean, I'm already ready to buy a ticket, low-key. I feel like I'm going to make it a
like Thor's, bro.
I would
love to tour with Mike, bro.
We will.
I'm very
like
excited
will.
About the future, man.
Yeah.
Like, when you get some, first of all, like, not only do I understand where he's coming from, but also, like, being at a certain age. And like coming up around the same things that we've witnessed in life, like it's already a connection from there. But like also seeing the authenticity of it, and then also like the passion for the craft like we connect on so many levels. Like I would love to tour with this motherfucker, right?
And
like
I
the stories would be amazing.
I love it's. I'm in LA 5 years now, and I swear the community that has provided me more uplift than any other community is the Black community. And it's not like I'm not trying to come in there
not seeking them out. Yeah,
I'm not like I just
it's not a
just
gimmick
vibe with people. Yeah. And it's also yeah, it's infuriating because you know, I just want to be accepted by everybody. But it's funny, it's like, dog, if I'm a white dude on Black lineups, yeah, I hope you know that's harder to do than whatever the fuck you're trying
god
to do.
Oh, hello? My god.
You know, like, hello? Yeah, like I take pride in the fact that is one of the only communities that just really fucked with me heavy, and I don't take it lightly either.
Nah, it's just the crazy part. So like I heard these comics talking about it. It was a couple of white comics and then one very prominent Black comic, and he was like, you know, the best Black crowd, it's like a 50% white crowd.
Yeah,
and that's a testament to how
difficult
hard you're scrutinized in the Black community.
Yeah,
you have
it's kind of
15 to 30
too
seconds
much
to either impress or draw in the Black crowd.
Yeah.
A white crowd will give you your whole set to like turn it around. You got a 15-minute spot.
True.
They'll give you 14 minutes and 38 seconds to turn it around and whip it in. And that.
But
last
if you don't do it in the first minute of the Black crowd.
Bro, what?
Oh.
They'll
shut
off.
First of all,
you could be 5 minutes killing. And if you lose it for a minute, woo, then you're. I did that. I had woo to follow Malik S. at D-Ray's show one time. And first of all, Malik S. is a monster. And that's another thing. Like, I know the scene is segregated sometimes. Dude, I could tell 25 of my white comic friends Malik S. They'd be like, who?
Yep.
But I had to follow him at Monday Ray's one time. And it was one of those nights where, like, I kept getting bumped. I'm not, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm after him. Murdered. And I go up there, and I ride the coattail. I ride the wave for, like, 5 minutes. Because he was riffing, and I start riffing. You know, I can talk shit. I was doing it for like 5 minutes. I had the crowd. I'm like, I'm killing, dog. I'm going to get into my material.
Yeah.
Dude, once I settled into my material, there was like a minute of a lull. Bro, I thought I was getting fucking like, it was like Apollo, dude. I was like getting booed off. I was like, I wasn't actively getting booed off, but it was like bombing.
Well, in that minute,
so
and then
quick
it turned around, or you had to.
No,
what
then I was like, I'm out. I was like, they want D-Ray up here. I don't know what the fuck
so
is happening.
That, and this is, it this was is the difficult part about navigating through comedy. There are comedy rooms, and then there are rooms that belong to certain comedians.
Yeah, that's D-Ray's room.
D-Ray is such a powerful comedian.
I know.
The crowd in there is there to see D-Ray.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just garnish, right?
Really?
Yes. I learned that night.
So it's like when you're touring with somebody, if they're the headliner and you're the feature or the opener, you are mashed potatoes,
right,
you're a Caesar salad.
Right.
And sometimes they think they're getting a garden salad, but they find out it's a season. They're like, oh, shit, this is great.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think they're getting regular mashed potatoes, and they find out they're getting loaded mashed potatoes. This is great. But at the end of the day, they came for this steak. So in reality, this is great. You're doing an amazing job. Great job. But I'm here for this.
Yes.
Right? And so D-Ray has one of those rooms. Tony Baker's rooms are great energy and everything. They're there for Tony Baker.
Yeah.
There are very few people that can curate a room where the show is the focal point versus the host or the person that created it.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate Sundays is one of those few rooms.
Oh, that's
they
great
are there to
that
hear.
That might be the best room.
It is the best room
in comedy
outside of Comedy and Magic.
And you know what? I haven't done that yet.
Comedy and Magic is another one.
In
of
Hermosa?
They're there to see the comics because they've cultivated a culture of entertainment versus this person creating this. And it's a very different thing, very difficult to do. But when you do it, it's an amazing thing. And I've always tried to build rooms like that.
Don't Tell is good like that, too.
Don't Tell
is good because you buy the ticket blindly. You don't
blindly
know who's on the show. Huh. And then you don't even know the venue. And then so when you go,
it's a secret
secret venue, secret
what
lineup. And so you know every single individual that bought that ticket is
they
there
just
to see a show.
Yep.
A comedy show, they don't give a fuck who's on.
They don't
thing
even get an email until the next day reminding them of who
the lineup was.
The
next
lineup
day?
Was.
Yeah.
The next day you get an email and it tells you
the
everybody
next day
there.
Of what?
After the show.
After the show.
You find
so
out
you
what
went
the
to the show
was
on a Friday. On Saturday, you receive an email that's like, hey, these are the comics that perform.
Yeah.
These are also
okay
their links.
Like
got
they
it
saw
them,
but like these are their names and their
links.
Got it. Okay,
and if you want to tip more, here are the links where you can tip more.
Wow.
And I've never been a part of anything like it. I didn't even know you were a part of that when I met you and invited you on. I had
I try
no
not to
idea.
Yeah. I tried.
Yeah.
To not tell.
Because it's secret lining.
Come on now.
Yeah, because yeah but it's, it, but it's one of those yeah. things that, like, if you do it once, you get addicted to it because it's such an inviting they're very, and they're comforting
the be, they're the be, consistently the best shows in L.A.
Yeah.
Because the individuals that are on the shows, they don't need to have a million followers. I need you to have 15 minutes.
And be funny.
You could have 800 followers. If you're a beast, you're getting on that show.
And you will know it. How often you get booked is how you know you're doing the right thing. Yeah. Every time I've got booked from Don't Tell, and it was somebody else that wasn't Mike, and somebody, bro, like, they hit me, be like, yo, nigga, what, they typically don't say niggas, is usually white people, but they be like, bro, like, where, you know, how, are you
couple,
out here?
Couple
are
black
you local?
Guys on there.
Yeah, couple, guys, but none, that, I haven't seen any of that, yeah, like, producing and bringing the chairs.
I know.
Because they do it in random spots. Like, the last one I did was in a gym in Hermosa Beach.
Oh,
like
yeah.
What kind of gym? Like, a workout gym, 45-minute. Or what was the crazy
F45 or some shit?
F45 or what was the shit that everybody was doing at one point?
CrossFit.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those type of gyms. So I've done it in a gym. I've done it in an apartment complex. I've done it in...
we'll do it wherever, bro.
Yeah, a place that only sells grills. They literally sell barbecue grills and smokers.
Oh, yeah. That was with me. Yeah.
Yep.
El Segundo.
They are never in traditionally... Yeah. Comedy or comedic settings, and that's part of the allure.
Turn them into comedy shows.
Oh my god, it's fucking amazing, bro! But the energy is always fucking fantastic.
And those are the best rooms when you can just be on a showcase show, and you know you can just get up there, do your 12, and just kill. Because yeah, but there's things to learn about the counter perspective there too. With the D-Ray show, is you just learn you got to step your shit up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got to fucking murder. That's what I realized that night, and I like being humbled like that. And that, to go back to kind of the initial thing, is like, black rooms will, they, if you get the flowers in that room, it feel, they smell different in a great way. But if you can get humbled.
Black people judge entertainment like white people judge 9-to-5 white collar shit.
Yeah.
So you go into a job trying to get interview, trying to get this job at this Procter & Gamble shit.
Crazy, yeah.
And they looking at you and looking at your last name like, oh, okay. That's how we judge entertainment.
No, that's a great analogy.
That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
Because, like, bro, like the grace given in a white room is crazy.
I've seen it.
I used to have this joke, and this was very early on when I first moved out here. And I would only do this joke in a white room. It was like, man, I had to give my homeboy a hand job the other day.
What?
Not because I'm gay, but because I lost a bet and I'm a man of my word. Right? Only would do that in a white room. I never could see that.
Black people have like a weird aversion to gay stuff too. Like, well, we don't get the same. Like, you know how, like, white people, gay jokes are, like, bread and butter with y'all, right?
I mean, yeah.
Like, your homeboy will come over and be like,
yeah.
Nigga, do that, they'll kill you.
Okay, so, I deeply believe it's so rooted in
the way
they broke books.
Yeah. No, like, I fully understand that. That's,
absolutely.
I love doing gay jokes in a black room, because I did, actually, one of my clips that popped on Chalk of Sundays was something about me being like, anybody gay? And it was just dead silent. I was like, oh, I forgot how black the room was. Because we're in West Hollywood. You tell me nobody's gay in that room.
The reason why I love that, because you're just calling... You're calling out the fact that we're so obsessed.
It was the weirdest reaction ever. We're so obsessed
with anti-gay. It's kind of gay. You know what I mean? Like, we are so obsessed with not being gay. It feels gay. And that's why I started doing gay jokes long, long ago.
Yeah.
Right. I just wanted to establish that, like, I am not playing by the rules of niggas.
It's being tough, shooting
niggas, fighting niggas, gay jokes.
It's deeply rooted, though. I can't.
Y'all don't play that gay shit, man.
Yeah.
You should cover up your dick.
I know.
You should cover this up.
It's like, no, dog.
Why would you have this out?
I feel bad, man. Y'all can't even be. I know a bunch of dudes in Ohio that are just, you know, these are closeted gay men. Mm-hmm. They might vote Republican just to get people off the scent, but it's like, they're white and black. You know, okay. It's just like, it's also the part of the country you're from.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things.
The
but at
the Midwest,
like
the core
if Magic Johnson black. Never left Michigan, that his son would not be who he is.
Yeah. Okay.
But he was in LA. If Dwayne Wade didn't raise that kid in Miami, that kid would have been different, dog. If he stayed in Marquette, went to Chicago. This, you know what I'm saying?
Though? I never even thought about that.
It geography is. It definitely is. Makes a difference, dude, right?
I never dude, even oh, thought about it. Bro, that I makes me think of like Dwayne Wade and shit.
I thought Taco Bell was the pinnacle of Mexican
okay.
cuisine.
That oh, is damn. That is 1,000% regional.
Mean,
it is.
It is. I listen. I knew of one Chipotle.
What about
Chi-Chi's?
You remember Chi-Chi's? Did you have that in St. Louis? It was bad.
I don't remember.
We had Don Chi-Chi's. Pablo's too.
These are all
these are bad.
These are all Mexican. These are all non-Mexican Mexican places.
Midwest, yeah, like Tex-Mex shit or whatever like
that. I only did the top franchises when it came to fast food. So like if they were Beeline
because of
Beeline,
speed?
No, what speed and just like notoriety. Like I knew White Castle since I worked there.
Yeah.
Obviously McDonald's, White Burger Castle. King, all that type of stuff. When it came to Mexican, it was Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And then what Chipotle had just opened up. Qdoba was before Chipotle for
y'all didn't have any like Qdoba mom and pop?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
I mean obviously
we,
that's
we
LA.
We definitely had them. I didn't fuck with it.
Not in Cincinnati. Yeah.
I went with what I knew was going to have a certain quality. It's like when I book hotels, always a Marriott, then Hilton, and then maybe something else. I don't really.
Marriott is under Hilton?
No. Marriott first. Then Hilton. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's fucked up, but you know, whatever.
Whoa,
we going to do a lot today. We ain't going to talk shit about him.
No. It's not talking shit.
They on the double tree, bro. You ever got that cookie?
I fuck with the cookie.
Come on, man.
Wait, you don't? You don't?
No, he does.
I do. I say I parked in Loaded Zone and go. I told you my thing.
Hilarious. Those be some of the.
Like 1A, 1B.
For me,
them cookies be top.
Is linked with Delta. And I only fly Delta.
That's fair.
Wait.
I'm a Delta boy, too.
Yeah, me too. Wait.
Yeah. Marriott, so you can like, your points transfer to Delta.
Credit card
and credit cards. And flight-wise. And Lyft-wise. And Uber.
Lyft and Hilton now fucking with each other.
Yeah. And Uber and Delta are fucking with each other, too.
Hotels and...
Yeah. They're all everybody, because they everybody. Want you to have
it's
the next, is that all the through the wave. Credit card or is that
credit card or so you can have like Uber your points can go like all the miles you go with Uber can go toward your Delta and Amex goes toward Delta. So I have a Delta Sky Miles account and I also have a Delta Business account. So I put everything on my credit cards, everything I put like rent, I pay my
tax
bill.
I do all that.
I can pay rent on credit.
No. Not rent and also not credit card. I mean, not
I pay rent on my credit.
I might be able to. Actually.
Some of you can.
I do,
but
for
like,
sure.
I do my business card, my Bank of America business card with my card note because I have that as a business. As
are these
business
things you have to act? Are these like activate?
Yep, you go in and activate it.
So you could do it for a long period of time, and if it's not activated, you don't get nothing.
You won't have to do it. You have to click the link. So like all
but
of
you're
my, all
you're
of my,
married to brands, bro. I respect that actually.
I want the loyalty, bro.
What you think about
shop with you? Then
what about
then
mid-tier like restaurants? Like when you were coming up, like it was. You, first of all, the downfall of Fridays is shameful. But like
Hula
Fridays,
we
had like Bennigan's.
Fridays,
like
Hula
Hands.
Wait. Fridays was on top.
I thought Fridays for a while was like.
We're from the
Midwest. I'm talking about Chili's, Fridays, and Applebee's were the three.
That wasn't y'all top.
Those were the sit downs that were available to people that were making $35,000 or less.
Yeah.
What about above that?
I mean, Outback got right out of the bracket.
Above
if you got that, Outback, you were chilling.
Yeah. We above that it was Outback. It was Red Lobster. It was Capital Grill.
Oh, Capital Grill, right. I fuck with
so
now.
That was above Applebee's and all of that. But for people that were making like $35,000, like right out of college, $35,000 under.
Oh, right.
Chili's, TGI Fridays, reverse happy hour shit. Getting that. Oh, man, I used to fuck with that in Phoenix. There was a Chili's at ASU's campus, man.
You said reverse happy hour?
Yeah, man. What you pull up at midnight, you get a fucking chocolate mudslide for your girl
because
she likes the shit. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You get, whatever the $5. Yeah, midnight to 2, reverse happy hour.
No, that's
so
young
the end
shit.
Of the night.
Young shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
I can't even eat that late now.
Oh, dude, you get the boneless wings.
I can't eat no damn.
No, this is like 22 to 25.
Mud lava cake.
I want to apologize to everybody that's watching or listening. I know we didn't do the comment. The song yet.
Sometimes it's a flow.
We got time to get that.
Sometimes we just flowing.
We didn't do any stories, but sometimes it be like this, bro. Like,
I don't think they mind.
It's not all things. I don't mind it either.
I think that only the live viewers mind because they're like, we expect it. But I feel like, yeah.
But also, like, when it's good.
If y'all were ready, I was like,
yeah. When it's good, it's fine. I don't think they trip like that because it's like, it's not, it hasn't been a dry spot in this conversation.
Oh, no.
Yeah. If our guests are that good where they provide the conversation, I feel way better.
I didn't love when y'all were talking about your culture for like 10 minutes. It was all right.
But the only reason we brought that up is because
I'm going to move forward with that information.
We only talked about it because we were like, man, you came in this so well.
He's amazing.
You joined this culture so well. We have to say it.
Marvel Vision. You were phasing.
I was raised by Jay-Z. Was you know those hilarious albums were like my shit growing.
Jay-Z
up,
right? Was his vision.
You know what I'm saying? I needed. I'm a big hip hop guy. Like all those when I was the angry 15 year old, I was listening to Royce da 5'9", Death the Certain, and I was like,
oh, you more black thing than most niggas.
Oh, bro, hey. I got Royce over Eminem.
Royce is
come on.
That is a nigga take. That is a nigga take if I've ever heard.
I took off Ghostface. To go buy Blueprint 2 when it dropped.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think that dropped the same day that DMX dropped, or the same, but
DMX
I know for
is
sure.
First.
What are you talking about, Blueprint 2?
DMX? Hard Night Life.
Is that,
No, that's Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
what are you talking about?
Blueprint 2 was like 2004.
Yeah, that's
no,
the
I know what you're
2.0.
Talking about. You know, Volume 2. Volume Life and Times of Sean Carter, Volume 2.
Yeah,
which was a great
album. No.
Like
Blueprint
I said,
2 was that was
bro,
the one
that was the double album. Blueprint 2 was a double album.
So Blueprint was the first one.
Blueprint was came out on 9/11.
That's the one I took off work of school from.
Oh, really? And yeah. You, all right. Well,
I was in 11th grade because it's
what a day to take off.
2002. Nope. Actually,
everybody
you know what?
Took that.
That
day
was 9/11, dog. Yeah.
Everybody took that day off.
Yeah, I didn't take off.
I was in
school. Taking it off. But I was like, all right, I'm making it to Camelot in enough time before I have to go to work at White Castle. So I went to work.
Was Camelot where you get the albums at?
I used to go to Camelot.
I used to
be
Sam Goody, and then I had Sam Everybody's Record in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know what Camelot is?
No, I didn't have Camelot.
Camelot was, it was like a Sam Goody.
We all had like the local thing.
So I didn't take off because I was like, I have enough time to go to Camelot before I go to White Castle. But I remember the footage on there because it was 2001. And I went to a math, science, and technology high school. In 2001, in my junior year, I was taking AutoCAD. Because I wanted to be architecture. So I'm learning like how to do blueprints and shit like that. And I'm laying out, because of my senior project, I had to start working on what I wanted this building to be. And we had a TV in there. And shout out to Mr. Konski. I don't know if he's still around, but shout out to him. He was fucking amazing. He had a TV
around.
In the room, and that shit started coming on. I remember the shit so vividly.
Wait, did they play it because it was called The Blueprint and you were in architect school?
They were like, you want to see a building?
It wasn't even that. It wasn't even that.
You want to see the opposite of what you'll be doing?
They were playing it for 9/11.
Because it occurred that morning.
Yeah, it occurred that day. And I was in
the tragedy.
Grade.
Shout out to George W. Bush.
And that's why I got my name tatted here and here, because everybody was like, they're going to start the draft up again. Everybody's going to go again. I was like, I'm gonna get shot in the face because I play too much.
You got that tatted for people to recognize.
No, I did it for identification because I knew I was gonna get shot in the face if they had started the draft up again.
Like when you have gone to war and got shot. Dog, it's called dog tags. That's why you don't have to get it.
Right.
Here's
the thing. At the time, I didn't know that. Like in war. After like a battle has happened, they let people go back and collect their dead.
Yeah,
I don't think I knew that.
You were in middle
school.
Ryan?
I was in high school. I was in 11th grade. So I didn't know this, so I'm just like, motherfuckers don't know who I am.
Yeah,
because if I get shot in the face or they blow my fucking head off. If I get hit like this and I fall back, no, tech might go anywhere.
He was like,
first
ain't nobody
all,
gonna switch
you,
my yeah, necklace.
Also,
what
the
fuck
the
niggas
most,
switch his
this
necklace?
This is the most narcissistic
Rodney.
Take I've ever
That's
heard
it?
On
That's
war.
It?
That's why you're a comedian, dog. You think so highly of yourself.
You got damn right.
Hey, I'm gonna be shot in the face, motherfuckers gonna know my name.
How many
when they didn't care anyway.
Do you know?
I know zero. Blake Griffin.
Me, but you don't know him personally. You know
I got a line. I got a line on him. I got a line on Blake Griffin.
I got that shit tatted on me. I was working at White Castle. I remember going to work at the school that day. I remember, and everybody was just kind of like, everybody was just, it was very stoic. Everybody's just like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Well,
I remember that shit because we were so fucking slow. Everybody was scared. They were staying in the house. Only people that came out that were regulars were the old men, because old men would go to White Castle. They drink the coffee. They get the cake donuts or the glazed donuts, and they sit over to the side. And that was one of the only people that were there. We were slow as fuck on 9/11.
Damn.
That's why Jay-Z's albums didn't move that much. That tragedy.
Makes sense. Makes
it's
sense.
It's a good album. It aged beautifully. It's an effortless album, by the way. And also, this is the album that introduced, say what you will about the man now, but it introduced the world to Kanye West and Just Blaze. And Just Blaze, he gave us two.
That was Just Blaze's first?
Just Blaze and Kanye did like first time we heard like goddamn 10 tracks whistles. And then Timbaland
Shout
was all
out to
over
Just
it.
Just Blaze for getting on and never switching up like Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
I do this every so often.
Pharrell, too. I feel like Pharrell.
Yeah,
also.
Pharrell. Timbaland.
Yeah. Pharrell.
Timbaland got mad at Jay-Z because Jay-Z didn't want him to produce the whole album, I think, of after Blueprint 3. And that's why they fell out and they didn't work together for so long.
Oh, I didn't
they
know
didn't
that.
They worked together again to, like, fuck with me. You know I got it, which I was love. Actually Rick Rock's song.
Yeah,
it
wasn't even Jay-Z's.
But he gave
they didn't like each other Dude, because
that,
of what?
Because Jay-Z didn't want Timbaland to executively produce the album. Timbaland,
the Magna Carta?
Actually, before that. So when Timbaland was working with Jay,
that was might have been a bad one.
Blueprint. No,
Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come was one, and then there was another one after Kingdom Come.
American Gangster.
American Gangster. Timbo didn't
too
even
solid.
He didn't have nothing.
That is an
too
amazing
solid
album.
Album.
Amazing album. Kingdom Come is not that good.
Magna Carta was his worst album. Half album.
Magna Carta was bad, and then Kingdom Come was
Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come had like the thing about Kingdom Come is it had like four timeless. It has 30 something.
Yeah. Wait. That wasn't him. An album? Him and Kanye?
No, that's
Watch
the Watch the Throne.
Wait. What's Kingdom Come?
It's exactly.
It had a red case. It had a red CD.
He was supposed to retire, and he came back.
He had on glasses and a hat. I think it was a red.
Oh,
CD
that
case
was
and
Just Blaze. Right?
He had a couple tracks on that. Just Blaze had a couple tracks on, but it was by far.
It had a lot of holes.
Kingdom
in it.
Come and.
It had thank you.
No,
Yo
what, was
far
the,
too
what was the other album we said was not? Was not
oh, oh, that's Magna right. Carter. Show me what you got.
Magna Carta and probably Volume 3. Probably his Volume 3.
Show me what you got. Had Minority
volume,
Report.
Volume 3, he took some chances, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because
some of the early
Snoopy
ones.
Track with Juvenile.
Yeah.
They
Which one was the one with Sunshine, though? That was Volume 1. Was Sunshine when You
this.
Deserve to Be?
Damn,
I
don't remember this album.
That was a weird one. That was a weird misstep.
That was Volume 1.
I don't remember
volume
this
one
album
I actually think is
all.
It was
Show Me What You Got. That's it.
Yeah. The Prelude was actually fine. Show Me What You Got was the single, but it wasn't. Lost One is timeless.
Yeah.
30 something is timeless. One? But other than that, you have like really just a lot of holes in it.
Yeah.
I forgot about this. I thought this was the Blueprint 3.
Actually,
this was the album.
Blueprint 3, actually not that bad.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I'll go back and listen to it. I will listen to
Death of Auto-Tune, Empire State of Mind. Nah, I didn't like this one either.
I will listen to Volume 3 before I listen to Kingdom Come.
I like this one. It's Pharrell, really.
Magna Carta.
It comes down to Pharrell.
Yeah,
at this
Magna Carta has the Rick Ross
This motherfucker got $1 million from Magna Carta because
just
they had sold
it
to Samsung.
Yeah.
And it came with Samsung.
Yeah.
So that was $1 million deal album.
Yeah, yeah,
that was
probably all
Lucy. That was probably shit that was on hard drives. He didn't even like
he
it.
He was trying shit out.
I didn't hate that Justin Timberlake song, but it's not something I repeat.
Yeah. Fuck
with
Me, You
the
Know
one
I
that was
got
a single.
It was the best track on that, and Ross gave him that track.
Yeah, that is the best
that's
track.
That's the best
track. That's one. That's honestly, like, if you think
that's
one of his best tracks, I'm not mad at that track either.
That's
a great track.
Yeah, that was absolutely.
But I'm a Blueprint 1 guy, and I'm a Black Album guy.
Hell yeah.
Black Album.
Those
were one.
Those,
Black
yeah,
Album.
Black Album is one of the greatest albums of all time.
Black Album was great. All hands down.
His lyricism on that is
I liked,
impeccable.
Even though a lot of people didn't like it, I liked Volume 2.
Kingdom Come will fuck you up.
The two discs.
We don't talk about that as Jay-Z fans, actually.
The two-disc joint, because I like Meet the Parents, it was on
Blueprint 2.
Two, yeah.
Was good.
Yeah, it was good.
If you would have chopped it, but that's the classic thing that if you're at your height of your success, you always go double album and it's the wrong move. Nas did it and Hove did it. And if you would have just chopped Blueprint 2 into like 16 tracks, it might have been his best album.
Yeah.
Because there are tracks on there that are. He's got the Lenny Kravitz one.
You had more leniency back then.
And 99 Problems.
A double album back then was like, okay, you get 30 songs. Let me know what the best was.
Only three people did
But
right?
now it's just like,
the double album?
Yeah.
Well, Biggie did it, and then he did it well.
No, yeah, E-40 Jay-Z did it. Nelly did it.
Nelly did do it.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of the times
that's how you
it
go
was
full
like
circle on Nelly.
Us as consumers be like, "Yeah, this is way too much."
Yeah.
No, it's too much. It's a classic misstep. Drake did it, and he did it wrong too. He did that 30
with Scorpion.
Yeah, wasn't that the one with like 36 tracks?
Yeah.
And you were listening to Chris Brown did it. That was the most frustrating. First of all, we don't have to get Drake Kendrick on it. Drake, either way, that was the biggest misstep I thought. I remember being like, "Yo, if this was 15 tracks, this would be your best album."
Yeah.
But you gave us a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
I think at that point they're just like,
empty
man,
hard drive.
Yeah, they're like, I did a bunch of cool stuff. I want to just
give
everybody
the way that streaming works
too.
It might be more advantageous to give more.
That's what I'm saying. Like back in that day, like you drop a double album, everybody was going to listen and really give it a chance. But like now, people are so ADHD. If you give something more than 20 tracks, people are going to be like, it's too long.
Yeah,
way too long.
All right. Well, listen, man. I apologize. We didn't get the intro done. We also didn't do.
Oh, we good.
But it's okay.
I appreciate
it's
okay.
Why not?
We having fun.
We having a great time, man. And I hope y'all had a great time with this. The excitement, I hope y'all felt our energy through the cameras because it was definitely present. It was definitely here, man. Mike, man. Hey, bro.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so much for coming, bro.
At Turner Comedy. Hit me up.
No. We finna set you up right, baby. You did it all right. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is Michael Turner from Cincinnati. Amazing comedian. Mike, why don't you go ahead and give them your socials and also where they can find out show dates and anything else you got working on. This is your time right here.
At Turner Comedy, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff. Go there. They got all my links there. I just joined Punch Up. So if you go to Punch Up Live, Turner Comedy is my thing there for all my tickets, merch, all that stuff.
Nice.
So I got a bunch of stuff dropping. I'll be doing a tour later this year, but I'll be popping up places all throughout the year. So I appreciate it.
That's fine. Yes.
Turner Comedy, y'all.
You said with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Agency?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You could ask that off.
Come on.
Nah, fuck that,
she
man.
Got, hey, I've got
no,
because
last time
too.
We talked, like, it was a good series.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always a proponent for my homies, like, finding love, getting married, and stuff like that. It's something different when you find the person that you're supposed to be with.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see, bro, I promise you, and it might not happen in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth year, but at some point you're going to see, like, if this is the person for you, you're going to see the difference.
No, I've already, like, I already see it. And then also it's like, the best thing is when you find somebody, the hustle of trying to find the person is actually what you realize is this, not a waste of energy, but it was so exhausting for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to say, like, you don't say that in a way where, man, I'm settling down. It's like, no, I'm not settling down. I have found somebody but the work that I put in to find the person, now you put that work in to make them happy or be satisfied.
And you don't feel bad about it.
No,
I want
to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, like
that's
I want
it.
To do that.
That's
yeah.
it.
It's her
Let's
birthday.
Go,
it's her
boy.
Birthday on Monday. We doing
hey,
come on.
Day.
Come on now.
Let's go.
She's flying into Phoenix. We're gonna do it.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the show. Shout out to our guest, Michael Turner. As always, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Clapp.
And we'll see you next time on another episode of Damn Internet. You scary.
There you go.
Peace, guys.
Peace.